Session number 26550,
Reel 2. Mr. McAvoy, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about your training at HMS Raleigh, a tour point from late April 43 into June 43. Now, besides drill, what other kinds of training might you do in a morning or afternoon session?
It's the best time in my life I've seen a telephone. They put you in a gunny school and they used an ordinary telephone on the wall. When it rang, they used to make one of the answers, you know, ex-gun control, all this business, closed up, cleared away, whatever. But the first time I'd ever used one, I can't say it's the first time I ever seen one, but I can't ever remember seeing one before that. I thought, these rich people have got it made, haven't they?
Now, tell us about the gunnery training then. What were you actually doing? What was the gunnery training at all?
Well, he taught you the whole bit. There's usually, how many? I forget. They teach you about seven on their positions, like layer, trainer, sight setter, loaders, the whole bit. And they teach you not only to do one job, you do all jobs. They used to switch you around and as I say, and it was heavy going. Use of a bazaar and dummy ammunition, which is always twice as heavy as the ordinary ammunition. But they fed you well, so you didn't really mind.
What other training? Drill and gunnery. What about seamanship?
Very, very infrequently, Dan. I think we got about a fortnight, a couple of mornings a week, and seamanship.
And what were you learning?
Oh, how to steer a boat. Things that you learn as a Boy Scout, like pens and hitches, things like that. But they weren't really... It didn't seem to be serious. Nobody ever shouted at you. They used to raise their voice, but never shouted at you, really, because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it when they sent me on leave.
And what about PT, physical training?
Oh, that. The hardest part of that was the rope. They used to make you climb the rope. Hands and legs. But after you got the hang of it, it was no problem at all. The thing you used to look forward to was stand easy. And in Raleigh, there's a cup of chia, as they call it. I can't remember what they call these. And a cake. Rock cakes. It was hard as hell. Put your song or you at anything.
Now that's not part of PT though, is it? What other PT did you? You can't have just done climbing ropes.
Oh, didn't the whole bit, the wall bars and you know the box and the springboard, all that like.
No assault courses.
Ah. That didn't come till the end. You never done the assault course. I don't know about other people, but we didn't until the end. And they took us over there. Now they had them. You started off on the end of the parade ground. Now there was a lad with us. He wasn't very bright. His name was Eric Sherlock. And I think he came from somewhere in Liverpool. But he wasn't a volunteer with a conscript. And when he got to the end, he was one of the leaders, you know. And this PO, come on, straighten up, jump to it. And this fella jumped and broke his ankle. But he actually jumped about 30 foot, whereas you're supposed to go over the rail and down a scrambling net. And they had two PTIs who chased you every inch of the way. You went over a rope, across, you know, with your feet on one rope and your hands on the other. You went down ditches, under wire, and unbelievable. But every move of the way, these two were hitting you on top of the head. You know, with a steel helmet, with an axe handle. And your ears were ringing all the time you were doing it. Plus the back, on that occasion, my underpants slipped out of my belt. And running with the flaming things around my knees. And Teddy Bird is stopping. Yeah.
Any? Did you do route marches and stuff like that, or?
We done two. From Nelly.
What were they like?
No, how far we went, I don't know, because I don't know where we went to. But basically in a circular route. Later on when I went to Portland, I've done it one with the Commodore.
We'll come to that when we get to Portland. Anything else about PT or?
Not in your life. It's something I always blocked out of my mind.
Now, what any other training you did, right? Any signalling at all?
No, not really. Not at rally.
So, you'd have sessions in the morning, then your lunch, then second sessions in the afternoon. What would you do in the evening?
Ah, no, you don't think like fire patrol, cinema, dustbin collecting. You name it, you did it.
Tell us about them. What sort of job was it? The fatigues, in other words.
Yeah, in other words. the cinema one was great.
What did that involve?
Collecting the tickets for them fellas who paid to come in. But you always found that idiot, you know, with all the gold braid on, turn round, you're not supposed to be watching the picture. So you didn't see the picture anyway. And you used to collect the bins. That was every hut, every day. And it was done round about 5 o'clock at night. What else did you do? Oh, yeah, fire picket. They used to put you in this great big building, which I think the weekend was the church. And they said, sling your hammocks. Now, the nearest beam was about 15 foot off the floor. And I thought, sod that. So I put mine on the deck. And the sheep came in about 9 o'clock at night. And he said, who's the bloody idiot to put their hammocks up there? 15 foot off the floor, you know. If it fell out, you'd have killed yourself. Thought it was funny. I was all right, Jack. Of course, then again, it's an older sailor saying them.
So what were you doing on fire picket exactly?
But you're supposed to be there in case. What did he call these? He used to have, I think they're called an auxiliary pump. It was supposed to take it, connect it to the water, switch it on, and the hose pipe. Attached a hose pipe to it. It's only a small thing. But I can't really remember much about them.
It's all right. So nothing ever happened while you were on fire picket duty, I presume. What else would you do in the evening if you weren't on fatigues or fire picket or
sleep?
What about preparing for kit inspections, that sort of thing? Did you have much kit inspections?
Not really. When you really got to your kit inspection was when you went ashore.
Well, tell me about that then.
The bloke always came along the line. And it doesn't matter. I was 18. I'd never shaved in my life. And he comes to me, he said, you, fall out. Catch the next boat, go and get a shave. So I went and had the wash. I didn't even have a razor. Went back on the next boat. Now that's better, son. make sure you do that next time. And I thought, little do you know. So I had to go and buy a razor the next day. And the money was rubbish. What did I get? I think I got about 30 bob a fortnight. You had to leave so much home. The idea is if you got killed, your mother got a pension. And I think I left there about 7 bob. I'm not really sure about that. But it was something like that.
Now, what would you do when you went ashore?
Well, I was 18. I'd had a pint, as you all want to do in early life.
Devonport or where? Where would you go?
We went to Devonport. And they actually got over across a chain ferry at Tamar. And when I got ashore, I was with two old scousers. They were in the 40s. And he took me in a pub. And they bought me 3 pints of cider, rough cider. Then they took me in the park and stretched me out on a bench and picked me up at 9 o'clock at night to make sure I got back aboard. Of the intervening hours, I haven't got a clue. You know, you fellas saying, I drank 14 pints of this. I didn't. I had 3 pints and out like a light. My God, that was a wonderful day there. And wrote up and told me home when I'd had a drink. He said, I know you've been having a drink since you were 16, but never upside.
Now, how were you getting on with the lads, the recruits?
Very well, actually.
Did you have any special pals? I mean, because you said that Les Kinnear arrived after about a week or two.
He was in another hut. So he's in a different world if you follow him. Now, in our hut was a fella I'm telling you about, Gordon Nash. Wallace, he's number one communist.
What was he like then?
A cracker. He was a good lad. You know, them days we were all short of money. So you go on a show, no. Well, yeah, I'll fix it up, you know. And he still is a good friend. He must be about 80 now, that son. I'll have to find out where he lives.
And he was your special mate, was he?
Well, he was the nearest of you, follow me. See, once you left there, you're teaching the Navy, you've got no friends, which is true. Because you move from place to place, ship to ship. So whoever your friends are now won't be your friends when you move.
But you got on pretty well with them. There's no bullying then. I'm thinking about...
Not that I'd recall.
The rally.
Not that I'd recall.
Now, what were the instructors like?
Oh, the one we had was a pig with ears. His name was John Roberts. He came from Penzance. He'd done his time. And all he lived for was his tot. But the day we were leaving, he cried.
Now, why did you call him a pig with ears? I mean, was he nasty to you, or what was wrong?
Oh, yeah.
So tell us about it. What was wrong with him?
It was, you're going to get up, you lazy. What did he use the words?
Yes, no problem.
You want to get up, you lazy bastard. If you don't, up, you kick your ass out of there. And they were Nissen huts, you know, with the corrugated iron. Before he came in, he'd do the same thing every morning. Get a stick, run right round the hut. And you can imagine the noise. Wakey, wakey, rise and shine. Come on, lads, the morning swine. Hands off, socks on, up cocks on socks. Every morning. But being honest, I don't think he does any harm if you know, working in the long term. I think he does more good than harm. But I mean, it's easy to be wise, you know, after you've been 60 years on.
And what were the others like?
Well, you never really came into contact with him because you only had the one instructor.
Well, he took you for everything.
He took you for everything.
PT, everything.
Yeah. Oh, no, he didn't take you for PT. Yeah, PTIs for that.
Physical training instructors. Yeah. What were they like?
Well, not really. I don't really know. I don't really remember them because you only ever went twice a week for about half an hour.
So the one that made the big impression on you was this chap, your one.
John Roberts, his name.
John Roberts, sorry. Now, why did he cry when you left? That doesn't sound very much like a pig to me. Do you know what I mean? What sounds out of character. What was up with him?
I don't know.
Or was he just sentimental?
I think he was. You know, I think they were sad to see us kids go because they wanted to go. Don't get me wrong, I didn't want to fight no wars. You know, you read these books and they say, and that all lads were eager to get into battle. That's a load of bloody crap. The lads wanted to go home on leave.
What did you want? Is that what you wanted? Talk about yourself. I mean, what did you feel about it? Because you could have been in action any time, couldn't you? I mean, what did you feel when you were training?
You didn't think about it. It was just, I don't know. It was an attitude, a means to an end, I think. You live for today. Tomorrow was going to happen. But I don't think you actually thought about getting killed or injured or... If he did, I don't remember talking about it.
So, what? Now, you had a story about going on leave. Was that then or later?
When I went to rally. Yeah.
Tell us that story then.
North End Station, North Road Station, I think it was called. And them days, the air age were disrupting the trains. And eventually, we got to Birmingham. I don't know if it's still there. New Street Station. And we broke the journey because he had an hour to wait for a train through to Liverpool. And one of the fellas with us was a married man. And we went to the pub, the back by the town hall somewhere. It was there now I could take you to, but I can't remember exactly where it was. And the barmaid said, "Where are you going, lad?" And he said, "Liverpool, come with us." She said, "Okay," and she did. When we got to Liverpool, guess what? There's his wife waiting at the station. We all said to her, "Billy." He survived that, by the way. I found him. I met him after the war. And he said, "You bloody lot got me into trouble." I said, "You've done it yourself, you son of a bugger."
Now, what do you remember of that leave? What did you do?
Well, it was the first leave, and it was when? June.
Just before you packed up, then?
June, July, something like that. Very little, actually. You know, I was shown off to the family. Course. I had two uncles, both been in the army, both thrown out the army. And the old lady showed me off. My son that's in the Navy. Somewhere she had a photograph taken of me, but I've never found it.
So where did you go? You went back from leave. What was your next posting?
I went to a place called Stockheath. It was...
Where's Stockheath?
It's outside Hammond in Hampshire. It was a camp in a wood.
Stockheath Camp?
Yeah. HMS Victory 2 it was at the time. And they, we were living in tents.
So that was July-ish?
Yeah, it would be July.
43?
Yeah.
What were the tents like? What was it like?
They were belt tents. And you all slept with your feet in the middle.
Where was that?
It's easier that way. You don't know about sailors, obviously. And a couple of days after we got there, it rained. And it rained. There was fellas who were on duck boats. You're sleeping on duck boats. And I can remember fellas shouting, "Send the navigator. Send the rescue boat. Where's the lifeboat?" This was in the middle of the night. The rain was terrible. And the captain of the camp, I think his name was Vivian. Captain Vivian. And he used to ride round on a white horse. This is true, this. You think I'm pulling your leg, but I'm
not. No, I don't.
And he also used to have parties, shooting parties. And he got paid 3 shilling a day if he went beating for him. What a place that was. There was no roads. It's all duck boats. And you were forever cleaning your flaming boots. You had to put your name down for a bath. And, you know, it was a long-established camp.
And what were you doing while you were there?
Very little. It was easy to dodge the column there. You used to have working parties, what have you. But it was so easy to dodge the column.
So tell me, how would you dodge the column?
Easy. Just walk away. Well, he said, "Pauline, you weren't into the woods." I wasn't the only one doing it. I used to smoke at the time, so it was easy. Go and have a smoke. Toilets. Ablution blocks, they used to call them.
So you didn't do much of anything. How long were you there then?
About 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
So it was just into August-ish.
It was in the States in August, beginning of August.
So, in just to July. So, what happened next then? You were there?
I got a draft it then to Mauritania at Liverpool. Lying on the opposite side of the river from where I lived. So I thought, let's try and go home. So I got grabbed the bin. They were emptying the bins on the pierhead. What's now? It's not there now. It's stage now, but it used to be a bloody big long stage where all the Atlantic liners came, you know. And I got to the bottom of the gangway, and this sergeant of the military police, he said, "Come here, son. Put the bin down and get back. You've got no chance." He said, "I suppose your bloody scouts have said no." He said, "Well, you sure?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "So where do you live?" I said, "The other side of the river." He said, "But you're not going tonight." But it was worth a try. And I think about a week later, I finished up in the States.
Now, what was the voyage like? Because she's an old liner, isn't she, the Mauritania? Well, not so old then. But
my first experience of being sick. No, it was the only experience of being sick. There was two old fellas. Tom Bell and Tom Wybry. Now, one came from Halifax and the other one came from Angnamunkie, West Hartlepool. And every time something left over at breakfast, dinner, I'd say, "Here, scouts, get that down here." And I was being conned. I didn't realise it at the time, but I do now. They'd say, "Get it down here. If you're going to be sick, you've got something to fetch up." And this day we went in the canteen, and it didn't call them a canteen, we called them a wet bar, a dry bar, and a goffer's bar. Now, they didn't serve beer, but they served things like dandelion and burdock and things like that. So one of them gave me a bar of chocolate and said, "Get that down here." And the other one gave me this dandelion and burdock. You know, Jolly Jack, 18, king of the road, didn't care. Down with the chocolate, down with the dandelion on the back. And I made a beeline for the top. And the aftermath always amused me over this. It was then I realised I was conned. I got rid of the lot. And he said, "Tommy Weibo," I said, "All right, scouse." I said, "Yep." Got any gash? He said, well, you hungry little buggy, though, is it? They'd come, me. Well, I enjoyed it, you know. We got in the States and we landed at a place called New York. Not.
Hang on, was it comfortable aboard the ship?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we slept in hammocks. So a hammock was most the most comfortable thing you'd ever slept in your life, believe me.
What was so good about it? No, most people haven't slept in a hammock. What was it like?
The ship moves, the hammock doesn't. You think about it. I never, ever. The only regret was I had to come home and sleep in a bed because nobody had hooks for hanging a hammock on. I really enjoyed a hammock. Always did.
Now, what happened when you got to New York?
Oh, bloody hell. Sent us to on the smokiest train I've ever been on in my life to a place called Asbury Park in New Jersey into two hotels. Now, let's see.
One's the Barclay.
That's the one I was in.
I don't remember the other ones.
The other one's Monterey.
Now, what was it? So this is August, 43.
And he walked us into the barracks and gave us a medical. And he said, bath. Be quiet. Bath. This is going through. Man, you've got to remember, on the Mauritania, we're using salt water. And if you never had a bath with salt water, soap, you've never lived. Believe me. We used to call it Puss's Hard. If you go down to our club and ask them, in the what's name, they've got a piece of Puss's Hard, and it looks hard, even today. So, then you went to go ashore, and he said...
Now, what were the conditions like? Hang on, before you go ashore, what were the conditions like in the hotel? Tell me what the hotel was like. It's a Barclay.
Brilliant. You lived in a... There was two beds in each room. There was a shower, a bath, the whole bit, the whole hotel bit, you know. And you went for your meals in one of these cafeteria type things, which were all right in hotels, but bloody awful on ships, believe me.
What was the food any different from what you were used to in England?
Of course.
In what way?
You haven't even gone down with Who Wants Cookies. The Yanks were doing all casing. Who wants cookies? Who wants an apple and orange? You couldn't even buy them in England at the time. And they were great. So I got whipped out of there. But
now, you said you went ashore from there. Yeah. I mean, where did you go?
One night ashore there.
Where'd you go?
The pitches. To see... bloody hell. Well-known pitches. Dangerous Moonlight. With the music. Walsall Concerto. And ride down the bike, around the town on a bike.
This is at Asbury, was it? Asbury Park?
Asbury Park, yeah. And the next day I got roped in for a swimming party. And you had to swim the length of the bath and said water for, I don't know, for how long. And the next day...
Now, what was the point of that? Was that a swimming test?
Yeah. I was a swim instructor.
Who was?
I was.
Now, you didn't say that.
No, the next day it was. After the test. And you had to sit on the beach on a chair and watch nobody got drowned.
As a lifeguard?
As a lifeguard, yeah. They called a swim instructor. They give you a shirt to match, you know.
I was glad. That sounds quite an easy job.
Better than working for the living, believe me.
Did anything happen? Any?
No. I really enjoyed.
Did you treat it seriously? I mean, did you keep your eye open, see if anyone?
Of course, you did. Yeah.
You did.
Oh yeah.
But nothing much happened. Who was on the beach? Civilians or?
Oh yeah. And then again. I suppose they thought somebody with a hat on might impress the impress the people, you know.